expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody to the Elise Glink Show live on Sundays, football season 12 to 2 here on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. We are online all the time. The website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. We are having a little problem with the website, so there won't be show notes up, but we've got a whole lot of other stuff up there you might be interested in. Don't forget to sign up for our free weekly newsletter while you're at it. Lines are wide open today. We're talking about mortgages. Another record interest rate. Unbelievable, folks. We went below 4% for the 30-year fixed rate loan for the first time ever. I mean, ever. 3.96% was the average, Freddie Mac said, for a 30-year fixed rate loan. And 15 years are 3% or 3.25%, and we're just, it's 10 years or below 3%. For all of you who think this is like a unique opportunity, let me just say again that it is. It just doesn't mean that the economy's in very good shape. Not at all. So I want to talk about refinancing today because I think that's pretty important. We also had kind of another up and down week with the Dow. So we ended the week up about 189, 190 points. The Dow ended at 11,103. The global index ended up a little bit. 10-year treasury bonds are at just about 2%. Wow. Just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, so let's start with something that's sort of interesting, which I'm sure you've seen these ads in the paper. PenFed has been advertising mortgages that are right for you. And I saw an ad in the paper today, and I thought, this is really misleading, but a lot of people could get caught by this. And it's not to say that PenFed doesn't have some good mortgage programs. They do. But I'm not a huge fan of what they're doing with this ad. So they've got something that they're advertising as a 5-5 adjustable rate mortgage. And it says the first 60 months, or 5 years, 3.625% with an APR of 3.2%. Okay. Next 300 months... Right, so the other 25 years, your rate's going to be 3% and, you know, same APR. That's so interesting. So what are they saying? They're saying that it's a 5-5. It's an adjustable rate mortgage. And Sam and I were having breakfast, and I said, how can they possibly guarantee what the next 60 months are going to be after the first 5 years? It's an adjustable rate mortgage. Like, how does that happen? So we're looking at it a little bit more closely, and it talks about how rate is variable and can increase by no more than 2 percentage points every 5 years with a lifetime maximum adjustment of 5%. So it would be 8.625%. And then it says in the fine print, since the index in the future is unknown, the first adjusted payments displayed are based on the current index plus the margin of fully indexed rate as of the effective date below October 6th. So you're looking at this and you're like, first 60 months, 3.6%, next 300, 3%. But I'm telling you, folks, if we are still at a 3% rate for this loan in 5 years, we will be just in or coming out of the greatest depression in history. Like, worse than the Great Depression. There's no way that interest rates are going to stay at this rate. I have been shocked that we've been going downward, believe it or not. But it's just not going to happen. This is a reflection of a world in economic chaos. It's a reflection of Greece and Italy and Ireland and Spain and Portugal and what Germany and France are going to do about it. It's a reflection of the French bank that got a AAA rating when they did their stress test that's on the verge of collapse. It's a reflection of the strengthening of the dollar only because the rest of the world is so weak. It's a reflection of China going into stagnation and the U.S. having a really difficult time. This is a reflection of how bad our economic situation actually is. And anybody who says it isn't, I don't think is being exactly honest. But I'm looking at this, you know, this PenFed mortgage, and it's like we pay up to $100,000 in closing costs as long as you use one of their preferred title companies, up to $100,000 in closing costs. What kind of a loan are you getting up to $100,000 in closing costs? So you pay escrow and the prepaid interest. And it's just ludicrous. So, again, I'm not saying that there aren't some great loans. Sam had a client a couple of weeks ago who used a PenFed mortgage. He got a really great deal. I'm not saying they're not offering a great deal. I'm saying that this ad is just really misleading. And if you don't read it carefully, and this is, again, we talked about this last week, you have to read the fine print on all this stuff. You just, it's not enough to just kind of assume that somebody's looking out for your best interests. Let me be very clear. Nobody cares about your best interests except for me and Dave Ramsey and Clark. That's it. We're the only ones. And everybody else is running a business. And you have to assume that they're out to make themselves some money, which is fine. Businesses should make money. I'm all for it. I'm a business owner. I want to make money. But I want you to get a deal, or at least understand the deal that you're getting when you sign on for these loans. So when you see one of these amazing ads in the paper, like a PenFed 5.5 adjustable rate mortgage is right for you, just look into it a little more carefully. Read the fine print. Ask a lot of questions. If you don't know what questions to ask, go to my website at thinklink.com and look up what mortgage questions to ask, and then go ask those questions. And then ask some more questions. But the real question you should be asking is, why, when mortgage interest rates for a 30-year fixed rate loan are below 4%, would you ever go with an adjustable rate mortgage? There is no reason to do it. Everybody should be looking at fixed rate loans right now. Everybody who can, and hopefully that's you. 404-872-0750 is our number. We've got some lines open. Let's go to Andy in Fayetteville. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I took your advice last week, and I refinanced my house, and I got a 10-year loan at 3%.
Yay for you. That's a great deal.
Yeah, all in all, like, the closing costs will... I'll be financing $75,000 for 10 years, and it dropped my payment down about $40. I took about a year off my loan payment, so I was at 11 years before I did this. So I think it's going to work out for me.
Oh, that's great. So you're saving a year's worth of payments. You're saving $40 a month per payment. How much out of pocket?
I think it was at like $71,000 with all the closing costs. It's up to $75,000 refinanced.
So you just refinanced the $4,000 inside, which I think is fine, given that the interest rate is 3%. That's like basically nothing. So great. When do you close?
I think I got to get all like the documentation to them, but it should be within like maybe 2 weeks.
That's great. Andy, that's terrific. You did a great job. You know, this is going to save you money. It's saving you a year off of the payments. I think you're going to be really happy. And in 10 years, you're going to be done, which is like nothing. That's, you know.
Whoever thought interest rates would be down less than car rates, you know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Way less than car rates.
All right, Elise, thanks.
Thanks so much, Andy. Appreciate the call and the follow-up. Thanks for taking the advice. It's going to pay off for you. 14 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take those calls in just a minute. So one of the things that I want to talk about today, in addition to these ridiculously low interest rates, is that you have to really look at the fine print to understand exactly what kind of a deal you're getting, right? So we talked about reading the fine print. If I hadn't read this fine print on the PenFed loan, I would have not understood that they were actually doing, you know, the 5.5, and they were just projecting out based on where interest rates are today. And, of course, we know that's not going to be the case going forward. So the question then is, you know, what other things are you looking for in the fine print, right? So you're looking for how much your interest rate is going to affect your actual payment. You're looking for how many years you can cut off of that payment, right? That's really important. You're looking for what type of loan you have. Is it an FHA loan? Is it a conventional loan? What's that going to do for you? Remember, an FHA loan, pretty important for a lot of people, especially if you don't have 20% to put down. And let's look at how you can get to 20%, because if you're at 17% but you've got a little bit of cash, probably worthwhile doing that. Put in that cash so that you don't have to pay the private mortgage insurance. So all of these little details are really important. You want to know what's going on and how it's going on so that you know you're getting a good deal. 404-872-0750. John joins us on the line for McDonough. Hi, John.
Hey, Elise. About 5 years ago, I got a Schwab credit card that paid 2% back on everything. And Clark, you know, he was talking about what a great deal it was. Well, since then, Schwab got out of the credit card business, and another company started handling the card, and they were still giving 2%. Well, since then, I've got a letter from them that they are turning me over to the big bank that's in the news now.
Which one? Bank of America? They're all
yes,
in the news.
Ma'am.
So. Bank of America. Uh-huh.
And that I will be getting a new card, and I don't want it. And I'm wondering if that's going to ding my credit.
Why don't you want the card? Do you pay for it?
Well, I've already got another Visa, and this would be, I just don't want a Bank of America Visa card.
Okay, but this is going to be your same account, so...
I don't know if it'll come as another number or not, because
well, okay, so let's back up a sec. So
yes.
Usually when this happens, they continue the account that you have.
Okay.
So you have 5 years invested in building your credit with this card.
Okay.
If they're just going to, you know, they're selling your account to another company, they're going to give you a new card. Even if they give you a new number, the account is probably going to be reflecting as the same account with the 5 years of credit history that is helping to boost up your credit score. So the first thing to find out is that really true? I suspect it is. And if it is, and they're not going to charge you for this new card, keep it, stick it in water in the freezer. I don't care where, you know, just keep the card because you want to continue that positive effect on your credit history and credit score. If they're
okay.
not charging you for it and you're not running a balance on it, having that extra credit in hand can only help you at some point in time in your life.
Well, I thought if you didn't use a card ever so often, they would can you anyway.
Well, they might, but... So you charge, you know, a tank of gas, you know, once a month, and then you pay off the card.
Okay.
You know, I do that with a lot of my different cards, or I charge some things three or four times a year, and it allows me, one of my cards is an Amex, and I seriously use it about three times a year, but I have a $25,000 or $30,000 limit on it. You know, someday that may come in handy. They don't charge me for the card. I don't do anything with the card other than that. But it feels like that's a very positive thing for my credit history because I've had that account now for something like 18 to 20 years.
Okay.
So when you get that far down the pike, I think it starts to hurt you rather than help you when you cancel it on your credit history and credit score because it just shows, you know, the on-time payment. So I would be very reticent about getting rid of it. But let's say that you're right and what they're doing is cutting off that five-year account and now you're getting a new account. And then you can just say, no, I'm not that interested in it, and you can turn down that offer.
Well, I'm sure they'll mail me a new card, and it'll have the 800 number to activate the card. And if the number's different on the card, would you say that would be a totally different, separate account?
No, no. So, for example, if you have, let's say you have just a regular Visa or a Discover card, and let's say you lose that card, they'll replace it and give you a brand new number. But it's
okay.
still tied to the same account. So the new
gotcha.
Number itself doesn't mean anything.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for listening to the show. Let me know what happens. 20 minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show, our number 404-872-0750. You're listening to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show. It is 25 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Joseph joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I have a question for you. I was listening to your show. I don't really listen to the show too much, but I happened upon it, and it was very interesting to me because you talked about the low mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 years ago, my wife and I bought a house in Pennsylvania where we're from originally, and, you know, my mother's been a broker for like 35 years, and she's, you know, she kind of guided us, hey, you know, you buy a small home, a starter home, you start moving up. We did that. We financed 100% and bought for 160, but we split it up to avoid PMI. So we had two mortgages. One was a both conventional. This wasn't Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And
did you do
one
80-20 or 90-10? What did you do, 80-20?
I think 80-20.
Okay.
And the 80 was at 6%, and the 20 was at 9% with the balloon, figuring we're never going to be in there to reach the balloon. Anyhow, thank God my wife got a job here. We moved, and of course, like everyone, it was in the middle of the crash, and we had no choice. We had to move. So when we moved to Atlanta, thank God we had someone actually come and rent the home. So we're getting rent on the home nearly enough to pay for the mortgage, but not enough to completely, you know, we have to float a couple hundred dollars with the home warranty and everything. So I go to try to find someone to help me refinance. All these rates are going down and down and down, and I keep getting the same thing everywhere. Sorry, you're not owner-occupied. You're an investment. We're not an investment. We did not overextend ourselves with 100% financing.
Okay, Joseph, take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath,
sure,
for a second. First of all, the house is not owner-occupied.
Right.
You don't live there.
Right.
You own the house. So the owner is not occupying the house. It is an investment property because somebody is renting it from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it becomes technically an investment property. What you need to do is try and figure out if you have any equity now in this house at all. And if you do, if you can qualify for a second home or an investment home mortgage. They do these, but they're hard to get, and you typically need like 30% equity in the property. So I think you need to talk to some more lenders, and you need to figure out how you're going to be able to gather up that kind of cash. Maybe you can borrow it from your parents to pay down this mortgage enough to get rid of that big loan, because your problem is the 9% loan, not the other loans. And until you get yourself out from under that 9%, I'd rather see you pay your mother 9% and have her get the cash from her to pay off this house than for you to keep paying it to a bank. So things to think about as you move forward. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be right back.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSV.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Welcome back, everybody. 404-872-0750. We're talking about mortgage interest rates down to the lowest levels in history. But now we are also going to talk a little bit about what happened with the jobs report this week. So non-farm payrolls surprised most people and edged up by 103,000 in September. In the private sector, the number of jobs that went up was something like 137,000. But in the public sector, about 34,000 people got fired. That's really a big concern, and that number is growing. The jobless rate remained at 9.1%. So, you know, somebody said, oh joy, now we don't have to worry about the economy falling into a recession this month. And if you look at sort of the U6, which is many of you know who listen to the show all the time, the one that I really care about, that's the broader measure of unemployment. The U6 number actually edged up to about 16.5%. And this includes people who are unemployed, who have fallen off the radar screen, who have quit and gone back to school because they couldn't find a job, who are underemployed, who have decided to become stay-at-home parents. 16.5%. That's a true number, a truer picture of the unemployment situation in this country. So the official jobless rate is 9.1%, but the U6 is at 16.5%. And if you look at the, you know, kids who are graduating from high school and are trying to get a job, the unemployment number is 26%. If you look at sort of just Gen X, Gen Y, the unemployment rate is like 12%. So you really are in a situation where the unemployment number is very, very serious and it's causing some problems. So what happened with the stock market? It was just a major roller coaster ride again this week. So the S&P 500 fell briefly into bear market territory. That's 20% down from the high on European woes. Later in the week, it bounced back from a 13-month low, which was 1075 points. On the week, S&P ended up rising 2.12%. The Dow lifted about 1.74%, finishing at 11103. And it just was up and down. I was really, really crazy. Now, On the taxing side of the equation, Senate Democrats have proposed a 5% surtax on earnings in excess of $1 million a year to help finance the Barack Obama's jobs plan. Harry Reid is going to bring the bill to the floor. What was really interesting is I was at dinner last night at a breakfast, and one of my cousins, who's been a CEO of a major Fortune 500 company and has been a very, very successful investor, said, yeah, who really cares? If you make $1 million a year, you don't care if you pay an extra $50,000 a year in tax. And a guy's been a lifelong Republican from the get-go, but he said, look, you know, $50,000 to somebody making $1 million a year isn't meaningful. So it's very interesting if somebody who's really, all over there on the right is sort of open to the idea that people who make $1 million a year could pay a little bit extra. I thought that was just fascinating. 404-872-0750 is our number. Let's go back to the phones. Evelyn joins us on the line from Ohio. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
How are you?
My husband's here on the phone. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you. Your husband's also on the phone?
Yes.
Hi,
yeah.
What's your name?
My name's David.
Evelyn and David. Okay, how can we help you today?
We're actually interested in learning more about a gift of equity. My parents have a home. We're actually relocating here from Atlanta.
Okay.
And my parents have a home that they're willing to sell to us below market value.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping we could use the difference in what it would appraise for toward our down payment.
Okay. And
go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about how much money we're talking about, and how do you know what the house is actually worth?
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is whether the lender would require that they use, I know they'll have their own appraiser, but should we get our own appraiser first?
No, I wouldn't get your own appraiser. You could have a local real estate broker who does a lot of work in the area do a broker price opinion, or you can look up sales prices of similar homes in the area to try and get an idea of what the house is worth. Have any homes, is it in a community, like a subdivision, or is it just sort of on an average street?
It's in a subdivision, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So what are homes selling for in the subdivision?
They range, because there are, there's probably about $100,000 fluctuation, but I believe the home, we're probably talking a delta of $25,000 to $35,000.
Sounds like there's another occupant of the house that's
going
to have wants
son.
To weigh in as well. What's your baby's name? What's the baby's name?
Oh, his name's Joshua.
Very nice. So now we have Evelyn, David, and Joshua on the phone. Okay. So the home is... So what do you think the house is probably worth?
Probably between 425 and 430.
Okay. Let's just say 425. And your parents... do you have any cash at all, or your parents are just going to... They want to sell you the house for how much?
So we do have cash. We'll be a little bit short, like everybody selling their house in this market. We'll be a little bit short of being able to come up with 20% to avoid PMI.
Okay.
But, we probably would need between $15,000 and $20,000 to make up our...
So the good news is that your parents can give you $13,000 a year, and they can give your spouse $13,000 a year, and they can give little Joshua $13,000 a year, and it does not have any implication at all for taxes.
Okay.
So that would be well over what they can do for you.
Okay.
So they can, your real estate attorney, and you should use one, can write the contract that specifically details that, and then when the property is, that's the equity...
Mm-hmm.
And that they are kicking that in, and then you only, what you're really doing is you're going to get a loan for only, let's say it's $425. You probably want to get a loan for around $325.
Yeah.
So that's all you're really doing is you're buying this house from them, and you're only going to get a loan for $325,000, and then they're going to go and figure out that when they do the appraisal, the house is worth $425, you're only getting a loan for $325, you're well under the 80% threshold, and you're done.
Okay.
That's kind of how it works with this. And so you'll do a contract with your parents that says we're going to buy this house for whatever price they want, $400, $425, it doesn't really matter. And,
right.
But the loan, when you go to get the loan, it's the loan-to-value ratio that's important here.
Yeah, okay.
So you should you should be okay. And then, really, it's not about money changing hands. It's about you qualifying for a $325,000 house.
Okay.
And then whatever you're paying your parents after that or not is fine.
Okay. And then are there, I guess there aren't any tax implications then for them as long as it doesn't exceed the $13,000 per year for...
Exactly. And it's not clear to me how anybody would be able to, you know, if they sell the house for $400,000, because the market's a little bit weaker, like I'm not sure that it's still within what I would call an arm's length transaction. But they can sell their house for, they can make as bad a deal as they want. That's their prerogative. It's really about you... just getting what kind of loan you're going to get. So if you get a $300,000 loan or a $350,000 loan, like $350,000 would be too close to $425,000. You would need to have $85,000 down to be at the 20% threshold.
Right.
So you really want to, you know, you would want to not go above, say, $335,000 for the loan. But I think going at like $325,000 and you're giving yourself a full $100,000 is better.
Okay.
And then you guys can make what other kind of deal you're going to make.
Right, okay. And then if I do then still, let's say there is a larger delta than we expected, but if I make a, I guess take the equity from our current home that's sold and put that into savings, is that a problem from a tax perspective?
No, because as long as you've lived there for at least two out of the last 5 years,
yep.
It's your primary residence, it's not a problem at all.
Okay.
Then you're entitled to keep those profits tax-free for yourself.
Okay.
So it's kind of a nice thing all the way around for you.
Yes, it is.
Good.
If we can work it out.
It seems like you might be able to do just that. So very nice for you. And let us know how it goes.
Sounds great. Thank you very much, Elise.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Bye, Evelyn. Bye, Josh. 45 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Karen joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Elise.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's on your mind today?
I finally got a modification after trying for like 3 to 4 years.
Did you get a permanent one?
Yes.
Perfect.
First and second.
Wow.
Now, I'm able to pay my mortgage. So on the second, I was paying $352 monthly.
Uh-huh.
Now, with the modification, I think I read a clause in there that said, like, within the next 15 years, the total amount will come due. I don't know exactly what that's referring to.
That's interesting. I don't know either. Did you call and ask them?
No, not yet. But I was looking at it and I was saying, okay, if I keep paying what I'm paying now, in those years, it will be done. So I'm wondering if I should just keep paying all of it as is, paying the $352 monthly, having my new payment is $120. Do I keep paying it and get rid of that second? Would that be advisable? Or should I don't have any retirement savings, should I start putting that extra money that I have, that extra $210, should I use that and put towards, you know, savings of some form?
Okay, Karen, you really need to understand what the language of the contract you signed means.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking at it, so I don't know.
Okay.
But you can either call your lender and ask, or you can talk to a real estate attorney who can look at the documents and say, here's what's really going on. Because my concern is that you signed this because they said they're going to drop your payments,
mm-hmm.
but you don't understand what the implication of that is. Like, I can't tell from what you've told me if
mm-hmm.
there's a balloon coming due at the end of 15 years, or they've dropped some of the principal, or... they've just modified it. Now you've got a 30-year loan with a 15-year balloon. Like, I have no idea what it is.
That's from the reading. It sounds like it's going to be, it said, like, they gave me a total, like, $43,000 will be due in, and they gave the year.
So you're going to have a $43,000 balloon payment at whatever year that is.
Yes.
But you can afford to keep paying your loan, the second
yes.
loan, now that
yes.
they've modified the first loan.
Yes.
Okay. I think you need a little bit more clarification to understand okay. if that assumption is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make a decision about what you want to do. But I kind of think that if you can get rid of that loan, mm-hmm. that would be a good thing, because I wouldn't want to be facing a $43,000 balloon in 15 years, because you don't know where you're going to be in 15 years.
Exactly. Okay.
So I think I would figure that out. And then as for your retirement, I do want you to save for retirement, and that's a whole separate question, because, you know, if you have nothing saved for retirement and you just take this extra $200 a month, or $2,400
well,
a year.
Well, but I say I have savings for retirement because I'm under, like, the teacher retirement system. So money is going towards that.
Okay.
But I am not actively putting away in, like, what
you're
you
not,
guys are.
You're not doing it above and beyond.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I think above and beyond is a good thing, but I also don't want you facing a $43,000 hole in 15 years.
Right.
So I think you have to understand exactly what you're facing. And my sense is I would rather pay off that second loan
mm-hmm.
as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just hope you're going to be able to work long enough at your job so that you're going to be able to get whatever the maximum amount is. And then possibly in quote-unquote retirement, you won't actually retire. Hopefully you're going to get the pension you feel like you're planning for, but you'll be able to tutor or you'll be able to do something else. Tutors are doing pretty well, by the way. And that you'll be able to continue to bring some income in. So I think you have to look at the whole picture and kind of pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and start adding it up, try and figure out where the best use of funds is. But I just, that $43,000 hole really nags at me, and I just don't want you facing that at a time where you're ill-prepared to pay it. 50 minutes past the hour. Don't forget to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's a special report on Georgia's teacher quality and the process that protects bad teachers. It's really interesting. We've got news, weather, and traffic coming up at the top of the hour. It's 10 before the hour now on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody. 56 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for joining us today. Our number 404-872-0750. Claudia joins us on the line from Conyers. Hey, Claudia.
Hi, Elise.
Hi.
I have questions. I have a townhouse in Conyers, Georgia, that I bought for $62,000 with 5% down.
5% down, or the interest rate is 5%?
5% down, and the interest rate is 5.5%.
Okay.
And I am thinking of, I'm 7 years into a 30-year fixed mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if it would be feasible to refinance, and I've talked to the bank about it. They said that to have the house reappraised, I would have to put up $1,500. I was checking with them for the insurance purposes, you know, the amount they take out
yeah.
of your loan. And
why would you have to put up $1,500 for an appraisal? Those cost like $300-$400.
That's what I'm questioning. They say that's the fixed rate for Georgia through Bank of America. Frankly, it would not break my heart to change.
Okay, you should be looking at five different lenders.
Okay.
Like, I just don't understand people who only go to one lender. You got to go to five lenders, Claudia. You already know what Bank of America is going to charge you. Now go talk to Wells Fargo. Go talk to a credit union. Go talk to a regional bank. See what BB&T is doing. Go talk to Wells Fargo. Go talk to mortgage broker. Go talk to a whole bunch of lenders about what's going on. But the real question is, do you have any equity in this house? So you bought this house in 7 years ago?
Yes.
And you paid again. How much did you pay for it?
$62,000. However, I mm-hmm. put a lot of money into remodeling it.
That doesn't, you know, what are houses selling for around you?
Huh?
How much are houses around you selling for?
They've gone down in value very much so because a lot of these townhouses have become rental.
Okay, so here's your big problem, Claudia. You might have put in $62,000 and then on top of it put in another $20,000.
Uh-huh.
And your house might be worth $50,000 today. That's
right.
Problem one. So you won't be able to refinance. Second problem is that even if you can refinance, if you only have a balance of $62,000 left, or $60,000, it's very hard to find a lender who's willing to do a loan for less than $75,000 to $100,000 these days. So it just depends how much you want. My sense is you're not going to be able to refinance, but you should start to try and prepay this and build up some equity so that you do have some opportunities to refinance down the line. 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be right back.
I've been waiting so long to be well.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Around you have grown and accepted that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, football hours. 12 to 2 here on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750. So glad you could join us today. Let's see if we can help a few more folks. It is 7 minutes past the hour. Our number 404-872-0750. Don't forget to go online to my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Check out the brand new Equifax Finance blog. It's absolutely amazing. We've got great experts there. And, of course, here's Truly, writing about real estate and the economy. Blog.equifax.com. It's awesome. Or Money Watch, where we did a couple of more celebrity crib stories this week. Those are always really fun. All right, 7 minutes past the hour. Let's see if we can help some folks out today. Tom joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Elise. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a question about we are going to close on a house on the 20th.
Uh-huh.
And it's on a short sale.
Okay.
And we're having problems with the short sales, which is there's two liens on the house, and the seller attorney, they already tried to resolve it, which is done on that. And then credit card company tried to file a lien on the short sale house which we purchased, and they tried to have us to close the house earlier, so try to beat the credit card company if they're being filed a lien on the house. My question is, after we close on the house, are we responsible for the lien that filed against the seller?
I can't imagine how you would be responsible for that, but if they filed a lien against the property, that lien, if it's perfected, would have to be satisfied before you could get the property. Now, if there's no equity in the property, I can't imagine how they're going to get anything, and those liens would have to be discharged. But I don't know how you, as a new owner, could possibly be responsible for that. But you are going to need a real estate attorney, not the seller's attorney, not the lender's attorney. You need your own real estate attorney. Do you have a real estate attorney?
No, I don't have one.
You need one.
Okay.
You need one tomorrow. So I want you to call the Georgia Bar Association or the Atlanta Bar Association.
Okay.
Atlanta Bar is probably better for you. Ask for the head of the real estate committee.
Okay.
Get that person on the phone, tell them your problem, tell them you need a really good attorney to help you sort this out,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll get a name or two, go interview that attorney, hire that attorney, turn this case over to this attorney, because if you want to close in this house, you're going to need some legal power behind you to help sort it out.
Yeah, we purchased this house as investment property.
Yeah, I it doesn't really matter. It just matters that you understand exactly what's going on. And I would, for anybody listening, I have to say that if you are buying a short sale or a foreclosure, this is exactly, precisely why you need a real estate attorney with you by your side from day one who can look over the documents and help you understand what you're legally responsible for and what you're not, and can talk to these possible creditors in a way that they understand. So, Tom, tomorrow morning, on the phone with the Atlanta Bar Association, the head of the real estate committee, find an attorney who has negotiated lots of short sales and can help step in and get you the house that you want. 404-872-0750, 10 minutes past the hour. Let's go continue on with our calls. Jeffrey joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I called you several months ago in regards to making home affordable opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I told you that my loan is owned by Freddie Mac, and I have something called Lender Pay PMI.
Yep.
So that they wouldn't let you refi using the making home affordable.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Anybody with that has PMIs with their loans. I did call Freddie Mac a few months back, and they said they're still working on it. Have you heard anything yet?
No, I haven't. This has been a great disgrace, on top of disgraces, for Freddie Mac, that they kind of put these loans, the secret PMI on these loans that should not have had them, and now they won't allow those loans, the investors won't allow those loans to participate in making home affordable. So, no, I have not heard that there's been any progress made on those. I'm sorry.
Now, I did try to refi. I am able to make my mortgage on time, and I had some savings I wanted to, because you're not going to make any interest out of putting in a CD or anything like that. So I tried to refi by paying down some of my undervalued condo.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I could refi. I went through a really well-known company. After 45 days and spending all the time and the money with appraisal, they came around and said, all of a sudden said, oh, your condo is not something we can do it. And I was wondering why they won't, if they know this is a condo, and if they know that there is some reason they can't refi a condo, you know, I don't know why they would let you go through the 45 days of spending all that money.
Because they're idiots. Jeffrey, they're idiots. But this is something you should have known ahead of time. So there are a whole bunch of things that just simply X out condos from being able to be financed right now. One of them is the number of homes that are in foreclosure or have been that are not owner-occupied or are in short sale. Or if you have people, a certain percentage of the occupants who are no longer paying their monthly assessments, all of those are reasons that condos can no longer be refinanced.
They clearly use that term, type X condo. I try to Google it everywhere, cannot find it anywhere it says.
Well, there is a list of there, and I know I've written this on my Money Watch blog, so you can just page through that over the last month or two, and you'll find it. I can't quite find it right now for you while we're on the air, but there is a list of reasons that condos, everything from if the floor area ratio is off, because there's too much retail compared to the living space above, that can X out a condo. If there are, and I don't remember exactly what the percentages are, but it's something like if there's more than 15% of homeowners who have stopped paying their monthly association fees, that can take you off the list. If you don't have the right amount of cash reserves in the condo, that takes you off the list for refinancing. No lenders will do the condo. If you have had a certain number of foreclosures or a certain percentage of units that are no longer owner-occupied, you cannot refinance the condo. Those are all real things that are going on right now. It's making it very, very difficult for condo owners.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. What's the interest rate on your loan?
5.625.
Yeah, but you can make the payments.
Oh yeah, I have no problem paying the payment. It's just that, you know, having the condo so undervalued and trying to use some savings that I have now that it's going nowhere, anywhere. So hoping to try to lower it, and it seems
The best thing you can do is go get on your board of directors.
Yeah.
Start to work with the board to understand what is keeping you guys from having people finance, because it just means that nobody can buy in your building unless they're paying in cash. So if nobody's able to buy in your building, then that's just going to drop the property prices further, and that's just going to make everybody even more miserable. So the way you can fix this is to start getting involved and figuring out what the condo's problems really are, whether it doesn't have enough cash in its reserves, if it's got the problem with the foreclosures, it's got a problem with short sales, it's got a problem with people not making their monthly payments. whatever the problems are, you've got to start figuring out a way to get it fixed, and you've got to start organizing the condo owners to get behind you so that you guys can fix your building. And that's...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but one of the interesting is that this condo is a high-rise condo among this Midtown Atlanta area that is has been the most popular, and it's almost sold out.
Yeah.
So as far as foreclosures and not selling, those are not the issue. Mm-hmm. And even the rental-to-owner ratio, it's 20%. So I think, I don't know what that type X condo means. I don't, and they wouldn't...
Then I'm going to give you the same advice I gave Tom. Go hire a real estate attorney or go consult with a real estate attorney who understands condo law and what's going on with Freddie Mac and can help shed some light on why your building isn't being approved.
Okay.
And can help you guys work through whatever the problem is. Clearly there's a problem with your building.
Mm-hmm.
So you should know what that is ahead of time and what your challenges are going to be.
Right.
So if you can't figure it out, your building can't figure it out, then you're going to need a real estate attorney because it can take 6 months to petition Freddie Mac to make you an approved building. And maybe they've never applied. You now the condo buildings now have to apply to Fannie and Freddie to be approved.
Wow.
So you may not, that may not have been done. So there's
no, I had no problem buying the condo 2 years ago.
Yes, life has changed. Life has changed.
Okay.
So I think you know, and I'm just saying these are possibilities. I don't know because I don't know what building you're in and I don't know what their situation is, but you need to find out. And you need to start probably getting involved and making those changes so that other people aren't going to run into this problem and that they'll choose to buy in your building above all others. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Bob joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Elise. How are you today?
You know, it's a very good day. How is it for you?
That's never been better. Thank you very much.
Awesome. How can I help today?
I am calling. I'm 56 years old. Was in the restaurant business. And you know the question about the restaurant business. How do you make $1 million in the restaurant business?
Yeah, how?
You start with $2 million.
It's
so
a
anyway,
really tough business.
Yeah, so anyway, I have survived that and now... 10 years later, back on my feet, and work for a major corporation, and I'm trying to get myself, you know, looking at retirement, and I've got $40,000 put away now in my company 401k.
Mm-hmm.
I take 15% of my annual income, which is it's a bit of a stretch, but I'm just wondering if the strategy is correct. I'm trying to put 15% into my 401k, and then I've got a house with a 12 years left of a 15-year mortgage. I bought it for $195. It's down, paid it down to $155 now after 3 years.
How much? What's your interest rate on that loan?
4.5%.
So this is kind of interesting because you might be able to trade that loan for a 10-year at 3%.
Okay, which would save me about $125 a month, maybe. Is that about right?
Probably save you something. I'm going to look it up for you in just a moment. How much, you said you have about 115 left?
155.
Oh, 155 is what you have left?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's see if you could do a 3% interest rate at 10 years, what that would look like. Oops, I typed that wrong. Okay, let's see what that would look like. So what's your current payment?
Well, I'm paying...
Not including real estate taxes and insurance.
I think the payment's like $1,225.
I find that $1,225. So a 10-year would be about $1,500 a month. So that's not going to work. But let's see what a 15-year does in terms of bringing that down. That takes you to $1,070.
Okay.
And if you're paying $1,200... anyway, and you just keep paying it, you should pay off that loan a little bit sooner. But I'm not sure, you know, once you're at a 15-year, it's really hard for that, and you're prepaying it, it's really hard to sort of see how, you know, refinancing to save a year or so is going to help very much. But it might.
Right.
So that's
right.
One thing to think about. I love that you're paying off this house. You've got 12 years to go. That's a great way for you to build up equity.
Okay.
And it would be great for you in retirement to be able to live without a payment other than your
right.
taxes.
And that's my question is, do I, You know, do I take that money I'm putting into my 401k, put it into the house, put
nope.
it into cash?
Nope.
Am I doing the right thing?
I think you're doing the right thing. The only change I would suggest you think about is maybe taking some of the 15% and instead putting it, if you qualify, into a Roth IRA instead. So you've got pre-tax money going in, but I'd love to see you have some after-tax money as well that's in an IRA that's protected, but it just gives you some options going forward. So my only change would be maybe you go down to 10% and then you do after-tax savings into a Roth IRA and you just pick some different investments or the same investments. It doesn't really matter. It's just pre-tax and after-tax, and those could be pretty interesting. 21 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we've got a prize pack to give away, so stay tuned for that and more of the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Even you don't know by now.
27 minutes past the hour. Time to give away this weekend's McDonald's WSB Weekend Prize Pack. The value, $195. It includes a Lakewood 400 Antique Market $25 gift certificate for the Antique Show on October 14th to 16th and an Autobel Car Wash $25 gift card. You can also eat well at Moe's Southwest Grill with a $25 gift card, and it includes a pair of tickets to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Rachmaninoff and Mussorgsky concert on October 21st at Atlanta Symphony Hall. That is a great prize pack. It's worth $195, and we're going to give it away to the fifth caller. Be nice to Fred. He's answering your calls at 404-741-0750. Good luck to you. I'm Elise Glink. Don't forget to check out MoneyWatch.com and my blog over at Equifax.com. It's the Equifax Finance blog, your place to get amazing personal finance advice. 28 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Elise Glink Show next on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Time in your prime.
Past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks for joining us today. Online all the time. ThinkGlink.com. ThinkGlink.com. Our number 404-872-0750. Glad to have you around. Let's see if we can answer a few more questions before we run out of time today. Todd joins us on the line from Norcross. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's new in your world?
Yep, thanks for taking my call. I just was going to ask you, I'm in a current 15-year mortgage. I'm down to about 7 years and a couple of months left.
Nice.
And my mortgage person saw me snooping around online for a refinance the other day and called me and said that they could lower my interest rate by a point, but it had 8 years. So I'm not sure if that's a good deal for me. I'd save about $350 a month or not pay an additional $350 a month, and just wanted somebody's opinion.
Well, I don't know why you would add 7 or 8 years to a loan. That just seems kind of crazy. But let's see if there's something else that you could do. Tell me, you know, what is the interest? What's the amount that you have left on the loan?
$55,000.
$55,000?
That's right.
Not very much at all.
Not at all.
If you could find someone to get rid of a, you know, to do a $55,000 loan, which is kind of a question mark anyway, and you did a 10-year loan instead of a, you know, a 3%,
mm-hmm.
your monthly payment is $531 a month. So what are you paying now?
Probably about $860 in principal and interest.
So 860 is about an extra 330 a month. And if you add that 330 a month, you'll probably wind up in exactly the same place, which is paying off a 10-year loan in 7 years. Do you save anything? I don't think you really save anything, and you're going to still have to pay for the refinance. So,
Under this particular deal, there is no refinance charges or anything. And I was hoping that I would take that money and pay off any credit card debt that I had and then start escalating payments on the house itself.
Do you have credit card debt?
I got about, 7,000 or 8,000 out there.
Well, if you can pay, take the $350 a month and start making a dent over the next year in that, I guess that's a worthy thing to do. But I would hate to see you add 10 more, you know, 7 or 8 more years to this loan.
All right. Well, when I pay my payment, I'm slightly stretched, not all the way stretched, but you know, I was thinking that extra $350 would give me a little breathing room.
Another good reason to do it. So you've just changed my mind.
Okay.
If you're going to loosen it up and you're going to have plenty of room and now you can start making a dent in those payments, go ahead. But once you're done with that debt, the credit card debt, I'd really like to see you throw everything in the moon at this loan. So that if you end up making an extra year of payments, I don't mind as much because your interest rate is lower, right? And what are they going to take to the interest rate down to?
4.25 from 5.25. That's APR.
Okay. I think that's pretty good. You're not paying any costs. They're building that into the fee. Otherwise, it would be about 4%. That seems fair to me.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks for everything you do.
You're very welcome, Todd. Thanks for calling the show, and good luck with that. And remember, no more credit card debt. 39 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Jesse joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Elise. Here's what I have now. I have a payoff on my current mortgage of $126,500.
Uh-huh.
My interest rate is 4.75.
Okay.
My monthly P&I is $755.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a refinance set up. The rate's going to go down to 3.75.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the APR is 4.0847.
Okay.
The part that I don't understand is, so my payoff is $126,500. What they're going to do is they're going to finance $122,860. There's a prepaid finance charge of $3,700. And when I do the amortization schedule, the total interest over the 20-year period on the refinance is going to be $57,000.
Okay.
However, if I did a 3.75 without any, you know, if the APR was 3.75, then I would save $4,000. So it looks like to me like they're charging me $4,000 on their prepaid finance.
Yeah.
And I'm still so they're charging me. So they're going to finance less. But they're going to bring the finance amount financed plus the prepaid to equal $126,500. I'm not sure what I'm looking at. Does that make sense?
Sort of. So they're so your payoff is $126,000.
Uh-huh.
And they're financing $122,000.
Right.
So about $4,000. So
the difference they're calling it prepaid finance. But they're also going to, when they amortize it, they're amortizing it at the APR, not the 3.75.
Well, the APR is kind of a weird tool. You can't really judge it because the APR is kind of a snapshot of today.
Okay.
Looking at sort of all the other costs combined. So it's telling you that you're paying about a quarter of a point in fees somewhere along the way.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that if you say, oh, I'm really paying a 4% instead of 3.75%, that's really how that's going. Are you doing another 30-year loan?
No. Right now I've got a 30 and I have 28 years left. I'm going to drop it down to 20-year.
A 20-year. Okay.
And my payments go down by $5.
Well, I think you're way ahead of the game.
You think
because,
this is okay?
Well, I do because you're going to save 8 years of payments.
Exactly.
So 8 years of payments, even at $500 a month, is $48,000.
Right.
So I'd like to save $48,000.
Me too.
If you can pay $4,000 in costs. They're going to charge you something.
Right.
The question really is the 4.75% the best deal you can get? Or, I'm sorry, the 3.75%, is that the best deal you can get?
Right.
And, you know, it sounds like a fair deal.
Okay.
I don't know all the details.
Okay.
Have you gone back and asked them about the missing $4,000?
Well, first of all, when I saw that $4,000, I thought they were doing a bait and switch. But then I realized that the amount financed was reduced by the $4,000, so that kind of threw me.
Yeah, it seems to me
so
that...
So I don't know why they're doing that, except for... I know it's kind of like going to the used car lot. I'm getting hammered somewhere.
I'm just wondering, did you look at any other lenders?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I went to one of the big banks. They had a 3.875. Mm-hmm. And this was 3.75, and it's local.
Great. So it sounds like you have looked for a good deal. You're going to pay about $4,000 or $3,700 in costs. And then it seems like you're getting a good deal. I'm not looking at your paperwork, but on the
right.
face of it, it seems like a good deal.
Now, can you explain to me yield spread premium?
The yield spread premium is the amount of money that the lender is getting, your broker is getting from the investors.
Okay.
So that's profit. So they're getting profit from you and profit from them.
Okay. So I don't need to worry about that part.
No, I would just ask them what it is.
Okay.
Did they
one
list
other,
it out?
One, yeah, one last question for you.
Yeah.
I don't know this, but I suspect that they have their... They probably have a third company or a second company that's their title company. I don't know if that's the way it is. But they have four line items to the title company. One is lender's title insurance,
mm-hmm.
317. Mortgage to title company, 60. Mortgage to title company, $10. And another mortgage to title company for 380. So all that adds up together to be almost $800 to the title company.
Yeah, that seems right.
So are they the title company too?
No, but they probably own it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they probably own that, and they're going to make that money back. By the way, you need an owner's title policy, not just a lender's title policy.
And how? Okay, owner's title policy. How do I get that?
You better ask them for it.
And how much more would I expect to pay for it?
I don't know.
That's a very good idea.
You should definitely have an owner's title policy, because if the house goes up and let's say somebody comes in and they contest the title, and let's say that whoever it is found out to own the real title and you don't, the payoff would only be whatever you owe to the lender, and you would get nothing.
Okay. Now, I've been in the house for 13 years, so
it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Okay, so owner's title policy.
Yeah, it's a non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned.
You
could be there 100 years, and I don't care. Something weird can happen.
You're the best.
Well, thank you.
You're the best. Give yourself a big pat. Thank you very much.
All right, Jesse. I hope it works out okay. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Gloria joins us on the line. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Lisa,
hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
I don't really know how to explain it. I'm in big financial trouble, specifically with credit cards.
Well, tell me why you're in big financial trouble with credit cards.
My partner and I both had really good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a big box, but found out that I had some severe spinal cord damage and had to have surgery.
Ooh.
And when I went back to work, they basically let me go, and it was deemed a wrongful termination by unemployment. But then 5 months later, I was taking a drive with my son, who's 9 months old, and we were hit by a privately owned, very large vehicle.
Okay. And I'm sure that didn't help your spinal cord injury.
Correct.
Okay.
And
is your son
also,
okay?
I was able to catch it in time and instantly react and turn the truck around so that it hit just my side.
So he's okay.
He's perfect.
That's great.
It herniated another disc below the other spot.
You had more damage.
Right. I had two neck surgeries in a year and 4 months.
All right, so you weren't working, but you had the wrongful termination. Did that settle? Did they give you money for that?
Yes, I was receiving unemployment.
Okay.
And I also filed an EEOC.
Okay.
And so once I had the accident, I'm disabled, and I can't look for a job, so I can't receive unemployment.
Okay, and so I'm sure since you were hit by the vehicle, they had insurance, and the insurance probably included a medical and other stuff, right?
Well, we're in litigation. I'm trying to be kind of nonspecific because we're in the middle of it.
Okay, so you're in, I don't need to know any more than this.
Okay.
So you're in litigation, so you've been living on your credit cards.
Basically, we've been putting all medical expenses on credit cards. We used the payoff of my vehicle.
Yeah.
To pay off all our credit. So we had zero credit debt. But then now we've got $35,000 of credit debt.
Okay. So
and
I
we're
assume...
living on one income.
Okay.
And
so this must seem hugely unfair to you, given all the other things that have happened.
Yeah, don't make me cry.
Well, I'm not trying to make you cry.
No,
I'm trying to help. I'm sure this seems wildly unfair to you. I can only hope that you have an amazing attorney.
I do.
Okay. So eventually this will all right itself.
Yes, it will.
So, but the meantime, you're going to take a hit. So
yeah.
You have a choice. You can file for bankruptcy.
That's not an option.
Not an option.
No.
Okay.
Let's just say my husband, that's not an option. That's not happening. So, but our credit card bills that are coming in have become so high that it's taking up a big chunk of our living money.
Okay. Gloria,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why your husband is opposed to that, but you're in a situation where you can either just stop paying your credit cards and they can come chase you, right? Which is fine. They can come chase you, or you can file for bankruptcy protection and you can get them all discharged. So if you can't file for bankruptcy and you can't afford to pay for the credit cards until this comes through, the litigation comes through, then you should just consider stopping payment. But either way, you're going to severely damage your credit histories.
Yes.
And that's,
credit.
But there's no other way around it. You've been put into a simply untenable position. And you can call the credit card companies. You can tell them your story. And you can tell them you're in litigation, but it's not going to matter to them. They're going to just report you as late. And then they're going to cut off the credit cards anyway.
We do own our house, or have a house.
But do you have a mortgage?
Yes.
So I'm sure your house is, you probably don't have very much equity in it right now because of what's been going on with the housing crisis.
Right.
So you're not going to be able to get a home equity line of credit to pay that off. Really, what you need to do is wait for this litigation to work its way through the system so that you can figure out what you're doing. And I wish I had more advice for you, but all I can tell you is you've been dealt a really difficult hand, and thank God your son's okay, but you've got a long road ahead of you. And this lawyer, if he or she is good, I'm thrilled. But if you feel as though your needs are not being met and you need more advice, you may need a different attorney, or you may need to work with this attorney. And nothing should be off the table. Bankruptcy should not be off the table. Stopping paying your credit cards, nothing should be off the table, because you don't know how this litigation is going to turn out, and you need to get to the end of that before you can make a decision going forward. So stay in touch. Let me know how things are going. You can always send me an email at thinkglink.com. And just know that I care, and I recognize that it is a really raw hand that you've been dealt. And I hope you feel better soon. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com. And find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
It has been quite the show. I'm sorry that we've run out of time, but that's what the music sounds like when it means we're at the end of the hour. So stay tuned. We have a great lineup this afternoon here on News Talk WSB. And remember, you can always find me online at my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. And don't forget to check out our Equifax Finance blog at blog.equifax.com. Have a great week, everybody, and talk to you soon.
Ain't got no time to